Running your own studio or whatever business, not everybody can do that. There is a lot of management, there is a lot of logistics, there is a lot of things which actually doesn't let you do your work. Yeah. If you are a designer, we have very good friends which we've been working for agencies, and we kept a bit saying, well, listen, the guy was doing brilliant, brilliant work, award-winning stuff, bringing a lot of fame for this Dutch agency. We could never guess how much he was earning, and that's not really, well, the talk, what I'm saying is not really so much about money, but at a certain moment we thought, well, you're working constantly after hours, and you are not paid, but you are a grown up, 40 years old, senior graphic designer.
30.
Well, all right, 30, 38.
He looked 40, but he's working now.
But why don't you just be on your own? I mean, come on, by now people really know you. Well, if you want to start on your own, you need to have a client or two. You cannot just say, well, I'm a good girl, just give me a commission. So he said, yeah, you understand, if I want to do the work at the level I'm doing it now, I really need a team. Mm. I cannot design that good anymore if I have to go to the printer, talk to him, check the things. Yeah. I really want to sit in front of my work and enjoy designing from morning to evening or whatever. So that's also something. That's why I think the number of design students and people should be aware that the future is bright, but not for everybody, I think.
No, it's in the meantime, we have a longer history and practical history of and it's maybe sometimes worthwhile to make a summation of that and see how that could be used in education as well. Okay, but this is
Do you still write and publish? Because you had
We were working on a reprint of Counterpunch, which has been sold out more or less. I'm planning some other publications. Yeah, that's also again one of those parts that. And especially writing and research is quite time demanding. So you have to force yourself making free blocks of time for that. You cannot write a book by, at least I cannot. Mm. Now 30 minutes, tomorrow just before coffee, another 15 minutes, and it's an.
And do you have that process. Time, or you make that time?
I'm making that time. At a certain moment, I realized that actually the best things I've been doing are all the things nobody asked me to do. Sounds very negative for a designer, but that's the truth. I mean, a Philly Shave logo is okay, but it takes a lot of time. Another screen font for such a device, okay, it's nice and interesting, brings in money, but this will all disappear. And actually, if you look at me, who is Fred Smyers, then you come down with a number of typefaces and some publications. And all these publications and all these typefaces are my own initiative. And at a certain moment, you start you have to choose. Crude, you say, another 20 years and then it's over. What shall I do? In which direction shall those 20 years go? And then I thought it's better to focus on a bit more on type designs, which I think should be there, and not so much a client who wants to order something. Other people can do that now in the meantime. And to write and to do research in that area, because I think that's interesting. And so you have to arrange your life in such a way that you're also able to do that. Meaning saying no to a lot of customers. And that takes some gut as well. I mean, yeah. But that's what we are doing now. We are planning things in such a way that we are having more time for the things we think are important or worthwhile doing.
But also, I think as a potential reader of Fred's writings, I think they can be very stimulating, and maybe not people who don't have personal contact with Fred, who are not in The Hague or in Leipzig or in Reading or whatever, he might give a feedback on somebody's project. Those writings can be very stimulating, and it's, yeah, maybe it sounds strange, but I really think it's valuable for a lot of people to hear a different opinion, often maybe less conventional or maybe less nice to hear, a bit more pushy. Also, the way I think Type Now was written was, Fred asked me, well, what do you think? And I say, well, as a reader, if I read it, I almost hear you talking. It's not a novel way.
But you are biased. No?
Pardon?
You're biased. But, you know...
I mean, no, yeah. That's not true. No, yeah. No, I think yeah. We're more writers. I think I'm totally... I'm the one who criticizes Fred most. Sometimes he starts almost on the verge of really doubting my loyalty. And I said, it's. I think it's positive constructive...
Criticism.
Yeah, constructive criticism. I think it's it's important to write... To let your thoughts.
For instance, there was a review of Type Now. Paul Shaw wrote somewhere that it's a good read, but it's written in a blunt way. And actually, he's right. It's sometimes blunt, maybe a bit too confronting. Okay, should be more careful with that, I think.
Yeah, but by now maybe
that's
a
Dutch way of speaking, no?
Yeah, but you know, written language is still something else. I'm not very interested in offending people. That's not my goal. I'm also not interested in having things vague. Yeah. So, but maybe I'm a little bit sometimes a little bit too easy in being blunt in order to make things. Clear. That's also an art. I mean, I'm not a novelist or a very good writer. Let's put it this way: I'm not a writer in what people think as a writer. I am very fortunate to have a good friend who is more able to do that. Robin Kinross, of course. Without him, my writing would be.
Even more blunt.
That doesn't lead anywhere, of course, being blunt.
Thank you much. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
TypeRadio.org, broadcasting from Helsinki, Etaipai 2005. Stay tuned at www.typeradio.org.